But as you know, we are having a look at this topic, forgiveness. This is our second look this evening. We didn't get too far last week, and we'll probably be returning to this topic again next week. But what we're going to be looking at this evening is, what is forgiveness? We're going to just do a quick recap and finalize that question, and then also look at, why should I forgive? Why should I forgive? Right, let's just have a look at that passage again. Luke chapter 17, 1 through to 6. I'll read it from the screen. And he said to his disciples, "Temptation to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." So we're having a look at the subject of forgiveness. And now the question for us is, you know, to forgive or not to forgive? That is the question. And the reality is, I'm sure that during this past week, somebody has offended you, or you have offended somebody. Have you had to go this week and ask somebody to forgive you? Anybody want to show? Is there anybody that you need to go and ask for forgiveness? Wow, we're actually dealing with saints. I guess we don't need to talk about the subject. But I guess we do. Maybe we need to talk about lying next time. No, I'm kidding. But as I said, what we're going to be doing, we're going to see that clinging on to unforgiveness, it can be very destructive. It damages our lives, and it obviously has an impact on those that are very close to us. And as we know, sometimes the consequences of holding on to that unforgiveness can be quite devastating. It can have quite an impact. Now, when we think about it, forgiveness is an absolute necessity for every believer. Because in reality, our relationship with God the Father is born out of forgiveness. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ dying in our place and giving us that gift of forgiveness, we would not be in relationship with God, our Father, with God, our triune God. There would be no relationship. So for you and for me, forgiveness is an absolute necessity. And then also secondly, we ourselves should be bearing the fruit of forgiveness. We've been forgiven, and so we should also forgive those around us. And there too, that's only possible because of what the Lord has done in our lives. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as we see from that passage, increase our faith? No. The reality is that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we will have that ability then to forgive those who have wronged us. So quickly, just a quick brief recap of what we covered so far. So what is forgiveness? That's what we're looking at. What is forgiveness? And what we first of all started to have a look at last week is what isn't forgiveness? Because sometimes we can get this whole issue wrong. So what is forgiveness not? And there we first of all looked at that forgiveness is not an emotion. So it's not something that we decide on doing because of how we feel. So it's not based on our feelings. And you see, our emotions shouldn't be the driving force in the way in which we respond to one another. If somebody has offended us, my emotions is not the main thing that governs me to go to you and either ask for forgiveness or to deal with this issue of forgiveness. And the reality, yes, we are all emotional beings because that is the way that God has made us. And we do get hurt. And sometimes those emotional scars, they can run very deep. But when we look at Scripture, we see that our emotions need to be controlled and guided by God's word and his will. And so there simply, we mustn't be ruled by our emotions. And there, remember, we had a look at that passage in Luke chapter 23 with the Lord Jesus on the cross. And there we looked at him and his condition. He's hanging on the tree. His physical condition, he's been tortured. His mental condition, he is absolutely tired, he's exhausted. His spiritual condition, well, he's tormented. But within that moment, he forgives those soldiers who have done that to him. He forgives them. And then also when we have, let me just read that verse again. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. And then also we had a look at Stephen being stoned. And there too, he also calls out to the Lord to forgive them for what they are doing. And so what we see here is it is a conscious decision. Even though they are going through so much trauma, being treated way beyond what they should be treated, they still ask the Lord to forgive. Secondly, forgiveness is not forgetting. And yes, we've all heard that saying, to forgive means to forget. And the reality is that you and I, because we are human beings and we are tainted by our sin, it is impossible for us to forget. We cannot willingly just kind of like delete unwanted memories. It's beyond us. It's actually only God who can willingly forget. And as I said, there was that verse in Jeremiah 31, 34, where it says, I will forgive their iniquity and I'll remember their sin no more. And what I love about that passage is God says, I will not remember the iniquity no more. It doesn't say that he would forget it, because God does not forget. But what he does when he does forgive us is that he doesn't bring up our past sins that we have repented of. That sheet is now clear. And so when we come to him, he doesn't show us the big sheet of all the things that we have done wrong. We've repented. He no longer holds it up against us. And there we also touched on the fact that also that time heals all wounds. That too is not true. I think sometimes the longer we hold on to certain issues, the deeper it ingrains itself into our hearts. Also, thirdly, forgiveness is not shrugging off an offense. Because God wants us to respond properly. We can't be neutral in some situations. That Proverbs 19 verse 1, a person's wisdom has made him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook an offense. And sometimes too, we can be gracious when somebody does offend us. We can be gracious and overlook it. But if this is a problem in an individual's life where they are continuously doing this, we can approach them. And we can ask them and say that, yes, you've hurt me. And if we see if they continue on this path and it's going to be destructive for them, we can't just sit there and not do anything. We can't just shrug off what they have done. And then fourth, we also see there that forgiveness is not trying to rationalize somebody's behavior. You know, why they did what they did is not the point. I want you to watch these. Do you remember these Snicker ads? They quite funny.
I don't really like looking at it.
We're not good enough for you. You look for something else?
No, I don't know.
What are you, big supermodels?
Oh, who's us? Supermodels? What are you, model gloves? What are you doing? The girl's totally into me.
Brad,
eat a Snickers.
What? Because you get a little angry when you're hungry. Better?
Better. So, ladies.
So, lose it.
Stacy, relax.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
You're not you when you're... There's another one.
It's on. Can you feel it?
Can you feel it?
She asked if the aircon was on.
Eat Snickers, please.
Why?
Every time you get hungry, you turn into a diva. Just eat it so you can all coexist.
Can you feel it? Can you eat it?
It's just so great.
Okay.
Thank you. Better?
It's better.
Will you get your knees out of the back of my seat?
Oh. You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
I enjoy those ads. But the reason I put that in there is because, remember, forgiveness is not trying to rationalize somebody's behavior. So when you are hangry, you know what hangry is? So when you're hungry and you become angry, that doesn't excuse your behavior, does it? And if you know that maybe your kid or your husband is hangry and they behave in a bad way, it doesn't excuse their behavior. And even if you understand what they're going through, it doesn't make it right what they do. So when I am hangry, it doesn't justify the way that I treat those people around me. I can get quite short-tempered and stuff. So even though they might understand that, and they might ask the question, are you hangry? It doesn't make my actions right. And also understanding the reasons why I've done what I've done doesn't make it right. It doesn't. And understanding me does not make that forgiveness. The other one too is, forgiveness is not pardoning. And yet too we realize is that if somebody offends us, but in that offense it's breaking the law, yes, we're called to forgive them for their actions, what they've done, but they still then also have to face the consequences of the law. So if you caught stealing, or somebody rapes somebody, or murders or abuses somebody, we're called to forgive, but then there are still the consequences from the laws of the land. That's why God gives us government. That's why God gives us laws. All right. So when you forgive somebody who's done something very bad for you, you can forgive them for abusing you as a kid. You can forgive. But that forgiveness now does not mean that they don't have to face the full might of the law. All right. So let's carry on. So what is true forgiveness? And here, first of all, what we need to see is that forgiveness is understanding that we have a choice. We have a choice. And in that moment, in the time that follows, we can either forgive someone for what they have done or not. You see, in both cases, to forgive somebody or not to forgive them, it's nothing less than a purposeful, conscious, willing, and a decisive act from our will. In other words, engages our heart and our mind. And there's that passage in Matthew 18. I think it was read for us last week, where that master forgives the two servants, one a small sum, one a greater sum. And the one who was forgiven a greater sum, he went out and he found his servant and started to throttle him. And when the master hears about that, he comes and says, didn't I forgive you much? You should have been lenient, but instead you didn't. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to cast you back into prison. Your debt is back there and you're going to have to pay everything back. And so that Matthew 18 passage teaches us that forgiveness is a decision to release someone from the debts that they owe us. He owed his master a debt that he could never repay. He was forgiven, but he went out, somebody owed him a debt, and he could not forgive it. He could not let it go. And so there is this parallel between forgiveness and debt. Somebody offends me, I put them into debtor's prison. So when we refuse to forgive somebody, and I said metaphorically speaking, figuratively speaking, we put somebody into debtor's prison. And it usually goes something like this. It can be in the church context or within work context. Somebody does something and they hurt you. They offend you. So it's your friend, or it's the pastor, or it's one of the elders, whoever it might be. And so now their offense is all that you can think about. And what's happened now is that you have bound them and placed them, this offender, into debtor's prison. And they might even come and ask you for forgiveness, but unless you release them, they cannot be a blessing or a help to you. See, in your eyes, all that they do is now just tainted by that one offense. That's all that you can see in them. And so when you fail to forgive, and when you refuse to release someone from this debt that they owe you, as I said, you put them into debtor's prison. Now, it's not a physical prison, but it sure is real, isn't it? Because you lock them up in the prison of your thoughts and your emotions. And sometimes those imaginary fights that you go through, those arguments, those can carry on for hours, for days, for weeks, and sometimes for years. Now, sad to say that most Christians have a debtor's ledger, don't we? So it's this mental notepad that we have that we file away within our heart. And every time someone offends us, we make another mental note. And it sticks in our mind. And over time it gets etched onto our heart. And eventually our heart becomes a heart of stone. They owe me. And it's the offended the offender. And as I said, either it's the pastor or your friend or your child, your husband or your wife, your neighbor, somebody within the church, your employer, or somebody that you work with, or even your parents, whoever it might be, whoever has offended you, they go down. They owe you. And so they have wronged us, and we place them, as I said, in this debtor's ledger. And you see, we try to make them pay, don't we? And often by hurting them with our actions, or with our words, or sometimes even with our lack of words, or our lack of affection. We also see that forgiveness is a decision. It's a decision then to take that you owe me list and we decide to shred it up. So it's a decisive, deliberate decision. We decide to release people from the debt that they owe us. Romans 15 verses 5 through to 7 says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another." Notice he says endurance and encouragement. To live with one another, we need endurance because we are bound to offend one another. We're bound to step on each other's toes. So we need God's endurance and his encouragement to grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. That's a decision that you and I have to make. Okay? Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. He's welcomed in you by forgiving you. Forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. It's a deliberate decision that we have to make on a daily basis, to forgive one another and keep on forgiving one another. Now, many of us will be willing to forgive. We would be. On condition that the person who has offended us would come and ask for forgiveness. We would want them to come and apologize for their wrongdoing. We would love that. And then also, depending on the gravity of their offense, we might require just a little bit of begging on their part. And also maybe from our side, we'll hold back that forgiveness until we feel that they have suffered enough, where they've paid. But that's not how the Lord asks us to deal with people. You see, there's also other good news, is that we actually don't have to wait for people to come to us and apologize before we can forgive them. Because we also see is that forgiveness doesn't need to wait. It doesn't need to wait. We don't need to wait for the offender to come and apologize. Instead, God wants us to pursue them. Pursue the individual. Go to them. And as far as possible, God wants you to be at peace with them. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 23 and 24, it says, "So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." When we see this, we see that our forgiving others is an act of obedience towards God. It's knowing who you forgive, why you are forgiving them, knowing that you have to forgive them, and also knowing the reality of forgiveness, and obviously all of the pain and the sacrifice that comes along with it. It is not something that is easy to do. But within all of that, it's a conscious decision to release somebody from the debts that they owe us. We also see that forgiveness is responding in a manner that's pleasing to God. God wants us to forgive others, despite their response towards us when we try and make things right with them. If our asking for forgiveness or our attempt to be reconciled with them, if they reject that, the reality is that we then still stand right with God. We've responded in a way that He wants us to. But then their response, that's beyond our control. There's nothing really that we can do about that. And also, it's not our responsibility. That then now becomes between them and God. And I think our response then should be is to continue to pray for them, to love them for Christ, to continue to be gracious and compassionate towards them. We also see that forgiveness is unconditional and continuous. We see we ought to have a forgiving spirit before God and as well as man. And here too, we can't set conditions that people need to reach before we would forgive them. We don't see Jesus setting conditions on the cross when those Roman soldiers are doing that. He doesn't cry out, "Are you guys sorry for what you have done to me?" He doesn't. He forgives them. And then He leaves their response between them and God. We now carry on to, why should I forgive? Why should I forgive? And I think this one kind of switches on the light bulb for us. Why should I forgive? Because the way that I treat others is the way that I treat God. And the question is, do you agree with that? The way that I treat others is the way that I treat God. So the way that I treat my fellow man is a direct gauge of my relationship with God. Make sense? I like to use within sometimes our premarital counseling, our relationship, marriage relationship, kind of like the shape of a pyramid. Husband and wife, God at the top. The closer you both are to God, the closer you are together. Your relationship with each other and how you treat each other is a gauge just how much you are depending on the Lord. Because the Lord has an impact on us. The more we are experiencing His love, His encouragement, His acceptance, His forgiveness, the more willing we are to share that with others. When we drift, we suffer. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 37 through to 40, he says, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" And the reality is that when we are in relationship with each other, that's the depth of that. The way we treat each other is actually the way in which we are treating God. The way we are speaking to each other. And that's why God is so engaged in the way in which we do treat each other. He takes it personally. So when we are at odds with our fellow Christian, brother or sister in Christ, in fact anybody, we are actually in odds with Christ Himself. There's a passage in 1 Peter 5:5-7. "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to your elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." I'll read that again. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. When we are harboring unforgiveness within our heart, we are full of pride. And as soon as our hearts are full of pride and unforgiveness, you offended me. Reality, we are in opposition towards God. And he then is going to humble us if we don't forgive and if we don't go and make right. An eye-opener, isn't it? And so we need to be serious about our sin. And there's also another passage, James 3, 7 to 12. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And with it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. How can this be? Now imagine you are invited to go and have tea with the Queen. Woohoo! And you are ushered into her tea lounge. And there are wonderful scones with strawberry jam and cream and Earl Grey tea. And everything is set out nicely. And there is the Queen. And you are beckoned in and you come and sit next to her. And she entertains you. And you have a wonderful time with the Queen. You love it. But then as you are walking out, you see kind of like one of those half statues of her. And as you walk out, you spit on it. How would she feel? Because you're treating her image is a reflection of what you think of her. So in the same way, the way in which we treat each other, people who are made in the image of God, it's the way that we are treating God himself. It's something that we really, really need to think about. So when we look at God's word and see that one of our foremost priorities of the Christian life, we see here that we need to be reconciled with one another. Forgiveness needs to be a key aspect of our lives. Why should we forgive? Because we are commanded to forgive. Therefore, if you are there offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift. Matthew 5:23. Reconciliation is God's priority for you and for me. It's more important than giving. Did you see that? God doesn't want our sacrifices. It's more important than service. He first wants us to be right with one another. And I think part of that too is because the way in which we're treating each other is the way we're treating him, because we've made it in his image. But also, then we're full of hypocrisy, aren't we? We're full of pride. We're not humble. And also the acceptability of any gift is determined by the acceptability of the giver. Yes, we are forgiven in Christ. And we experience a wonderful relationship with our Lord and our Savior. But if we are harboring unforgiveness in our heart, I really believe the Lord is going to frustrate our ways. And he's going to continue to have his finger on us. It's like, it's like Catherine reminded me on the way to church this morning. I asked the Lord, "Lord, why do you put slow cars in front of me on the way to church?" You know, why does he do this? And then Kat says, "Because you're not learning your lesson." And the Lord will frustrate our ways. And I think if there is somebody who you need to go and forgive, or if there is somebody that you need to go and be reconciled with, the Lord's going to lay that heavy on your heart. And I really believe your relationship with God is not going to flourish until you've sorted that out. It's a hindrance. And you pick it up in that verse, that it says that if you, when you are at the altar and if you realize that your brother has something against you, you must go. You don't wait for him to come to you. You must go. You take the initiative. Is that what the Lord Jesus did for us? We were so blinded in our own sin. He's the one who takes the initiative and he comes to us. He's the one who forgives and restores. And the thing is though, you might not even be upset with them, but they might be upset with you. And so as a follower of the Lord Jesus, we need to pursue them. Why should we forgive? Because we are forgiven. You see, freely you have received, and freely give. It was that the passage that Matthew read for us. And I love that. Those who love much are the people who realize that they are forgiven much. And when you know that you're loved so much by the Lord, you too will also be a person who forgives much. Sometimes you're willing to overlook an offense. And when somebody comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you are willing to forgive. It's a testing one, hey? It fights against so much that's ingrained within us. We hold back. We resist. We don't like to feel weak, hey? And sometimes also we love to entertain that hurt of being offended. Sometimes we like to wallow in that pain. And sometimes we also like to make others feel our pain as well. But that's just pain that just goes round and round and round, and nobody gets healed. So freely you have received, freely give. And when it comes to our attention that we have offended someone, intentionally or unintentionally, knowingly or unknowingly, willingly or unwillingly, then it's our responsibility to go and make things right. And it takes a lot of humility, doesn't it? But the Lord wants us to go, to be restored as far as possible. And as I said, sometimes we can go to somebody and ask them to forgive you, or tell them how you have been offended. So much as possible, we need to be at peace. And God will bless us, and then God will deal with him. But sometimes, not all relationships will be restored. But God wants us to be right with him as far as possible. That's all that I've got for this evening. As I said, it's not exhausted. What we're looking at, we're going to come back to this again next week. But any questions? And as I said, kind of like what I'm talking about this evening is based on a book that I read a while ago, Forgiveness. A chap by the name of Robert Vaughan, I think his name was. Harold Vaughan. Brilliant book. Very challenging.